Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Day the Lord has made, and God gave us intelligence and gave us discernment and compassion and a whole lot of other things. Thankful for all of those attributes we've been given as human beings. And how is it compassionate to present communities with distorted information and lies? How is it using intelligence to screen information from people so that you just protect them from themselves? I really believe this is at the heart of what the Seattle Times has done. And I'm in this segment, I'm picking on the Times a little bit because they are, for better or for worse, they're the preeminent news source here. And the fact of the matter is, when the Times decides to do great investigative work, it changes things. The Times has called out Sound Transit. They have called out Jay Inslee for bumping his cousin to the top of the list to sell, you know, grifter-related products for the COVID. I mean, they called that out. They can do this. Rena Shapiro's reporting on Department of Health and Human Services and how they've mistreated foster kids. She's had an enormous impact on the lives of people. Mike Lindblom in his reporting on transportation and on Sound Transit, enormous, right? Jim Bruner has broken really important political stories in this state that have changed things for the better. Their coverage of the COVID is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in journalism. People would be better off if they did not read anything versus reading the Times when it relates to COVID. And for that matter, as it relates to the Summer of Love. They committed themselves to promoting that. I want to experiment
here. I spent time in the area today talking to people, listening to their concerns.
We will not change things overnight. And I know.
Shovel your sidewalk. People don't realize that's their responsibility.
Be honest with me. Am I the only one who loves that? For real? I just think it's the best juxtaposition, the best statement about what Mayor Jenny is. I love that so very much. Shovel your sidewalk. She sprinted to the camera. She sprinted to go, oh, this is my opportunity to look strong. Let's take this just an examination. Let's play ourselves a game. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to take one simple man. It's one simple man. My friend Justin Hart, who is a data analyst. And he does a lot on Twitter, a lot on Facebook. He's now doing TV, using his data analysis skills to examine the COVID. So let's take this simple man, this father, this former political activist, this consultant, this executive, one dude, and let's put his examination of the COVID up against the Times.
Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on with the man down to the core.
Trump.
I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more.
We'll do a little bit of that later. All right, let's get to this. You know that today is mask day. It's the mask diktat day. Some of the media wants us to know that some of the businesses, they welcome the no mask, no service diktat. It puts the mask on its skin if it wants to eat again.
If it's keeping me safe, then yeah. If it's keeping other people safe, then that's fine by me. The owner of Nathan's barbershop says the new rule is a good idea.
I had the right to say no to you to come to my barbershop because, like I said, I had to go home and feel safe going back to my four kids and family.
And health experts say that face masks like these will help slow the spread of COVID-19, but they're not 100%. Effective. Experts say you've got to do both. You've got to wear a face mask and maintain your 6-foot social.
Oh, let's just stop. All right. So this guy is at a barbershop. He's right. He can tell. He could do this anyway. He doesn't need a diktat from the governor to say, sorry, I only cut the hair of people who wear masks. And this gets to the point. This gets to the point of comparing my simple man friend, Justin Hart, to the entire reporting structure of the Seattle Times. You ready to start?
Shall we play a game?
Let's do. Seattle Times ran two articles this weekend about discerning news and making sure that you use discernment when you read the news about the COVID. Couple of headlines. How to inoculate yourself against rumors about coronavirus or any subject. And then COVID-19 meets election 2020, the perfect storm for misinformation. Let's examine this. This is the first one, Sandy Dotton. How to inoculate yourself against rumors of the coronavirus. One of the things they say is stop, investigate the source, find better coverage, trace claim, quotes, claims and media to the original context. Let's apply this to the Seattle Times. Okay. Constantly throughout the COVID, Seattle Times, they were concentrating on deaths until that didn't work. Now it's cases, cases, cases. The Times did the same thing that the rest of the media did. It was everybody's going to die. Then it's, well, not everybody. Then it's only a million people. Then it's 500,000. Then the hospitals are going to be overrun. Then they took a break. The Times took a break. It's okay. No one's catching the COVID when people are out, protesting or rioting. No one's catching the COVID. That's all good. Then they came back with cases, 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 cases. Here's some things that you'll learn from my friend on Twitter. One dude. Ready? Three states, when they decided to shift to cases, 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 three states packed a week's worth of data into one day of reporting. Boom. Cases. That's something you'll learn from one dude on Twitter. Here's another thing you'll learn from one Twitter. In the state of Utah, there are more people hospitalized for the flu than there is for the COVID. Does this begin to put a little bit of a more detailed analysis on this? Here's another thing you'll learn. Deaths, as of Sunday, were at the lowest point they were since March, I believe, 24th. Have you heard this in the Times? Anything about it? One dude on Twitter versus the entire reporting apparatus of the Seattle Times. So go find better sources. All right. The Times is not talking about the phenomenally low death rates. In fact, the Times has never talked about the demographics of people who are most affected by this. The COVID is a virus that hits older people and older people with comorbid conditions almost exclusively. Almost exclusively. Outside of New York, this is effectively a virus that affects the elderly. This is not emphasized in the Times. It is not a point of emphasis. As the mask diktats roll, and the Times is talking about the mask diktats, for some reason, they're not emphasizing the fact that there are health exemptions to the mask diktat. So, like my friend Justin Hart on Twitter, I'm one dude with a producer, me and Alex. We will now provide you with one text message, more complete information on Jay Inslee's mask diktat than the Seattle Times. Are you ready? There are medical exemptions to the mask diktat. No business, no employee of any business can ask you about your medical condition. All you need to say is, I have a medical condition and I can't wear masks. If the governor would like to be more complete about what he and his great wisdom considers to be a waiver for this, he can do that. My understanding is it includes things like epilepsy, includes things like allergies. It absolutely should include things like low iron levels. This should be because I've watched a series of videos on that. If you have low iron levels in your blood, you have no business wearing a mask. So if you think you have a medical exemption, here's what you need to do. Text MASK to 800-465-8770. Here's what you're going to get. You will get a video of Jay Inslee saying there are medical exemptions, saying businesses and employees cannot ask you about the medical exemption. All they need to know is you have a medical circumstance that prevents you from wearing a mask. Text MASK to 800-465-8770. We'll give you a link to the video of Jay Inslee saying that. You can politely, nicely, lovingly show that to the employee of the business and say, this is the order from the governor. May I come in your store? Or are you going to defy the governor's order? Nicely and firmly and politely. All right? Now, back to my friends and back to the game we're doing, where we're taking the Seattle Times coverage. Because they're telling you, oh, we're going to protect you from misinformation as it relates to the COVID. We're going to help you check the sources. So let's go a little bit further down into their way of protecting you from misinformation about the COVID. And one dude on Twitter.
Maybe COVID's just not your game. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
Let's do. Seattle Times in their analysis and telling you how to make sure you protect yourself from COVID rumors, they pick the Plandemic video. The COVID-19 meets election 2020, the perfect storm for misinformation. They pick one thing that they pretend only comes from the right. Fascinating. The anti-vax community, so-called, that's what they call it. I call it people who have concerns with the vaccinations. The facts about vaccinations, such as, did you know there's a great big federal fund to pay off families whose kids are harmed by vaccinations? It's paid off about, well, $4 billion. Yeah, pharmaceutical companies don't have to pay a dime if your kids are harmed by vaccines. $4 billion have been paid out. Isn't it weird that companies can produce a drug and then never have to pay a dime if someone is harmed by the drug? You know who is on the side of communities concerned about vaccinations? The left. Completely missing from the Seattle Times piece here from the same woman, Sandy Dotton. COVID-19 meets election 2020, the perfect storm for misinformation. Well, congratulations, Seattle Times. In your own graphic, you've provided misinformation. You've pretended that the pandemic only came from the left, or pardon me, from the right. In fact, you don't associate any misinformation in these articles from the left. So let's just focus on you and misinformation. Are you going to discuss the details of what's in the pandemic? You going to discuss that? I don't think you are. Am I endorsing pandemic? I'm not. I'm saying you don't get to take an example like this and not discuss what the actual pieces of the pandemic idea are. See, selective information. You are hiding information from people. Just like you are hiding information about masks. How is it that one dude on Twitter, my friend Justin Hart, beat you in all these other ways I just described? How is it that he, as one man, can provide better and more complete coverage, such as three states packing counts, cases of COVID, a week's worth of cases into one day? How is it that you did not bring that about to your readers? How is it that they didn't know that? How is it that Justin is able to analyze using the CDC data that we've seen the lowest death rates since March 24th? And you haven't. How is it that Justin is able to go through and do an analysis of the counts in Florida and say, oh, look, they're also double and triple counting and you can't? So let's go from Justin to little old me. Just another dude on Twitter, another dude with the radio show. And let's compare my coverage of this to the entire reporting apparatus of the Seattle Times.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Let's go through the truth. It's mask day. Is the Seattle Times, do they have an article up informing people, their readers, who have medical exemptions that they don't have to wear the masks? No, here's what we see. CDC adds list of symptoms for COVID-19. All this way in. All of a sudden, there's new symptoms. Look at that. Isn't that interesting? Scanning through their homepage. Anything here about medical exemptions? No. That's interesting. Let's go to the coronavirus page. Maybe it's there. Let's see. How to properly wear a mask to slow the spread of coronavirus. Well, that's an interesting piece. But masks don't work. Masks don't work. So I'll find a better source for you, Seattle Times. You said don't be misled by misinformation. Let's go to my tweets. Let's go to this. Let's start at the very beginning. From New Zealand, published by the National Institute of Health. Cloth masks are dangerous and may increase the risk of infection. That's published by the National Institute of Health. Why is that not in your article? Why are you telling people that masks work? Why haven't you disclosed the risks? Oh, that's just one piece. Let's go to a second one. New England Journal of Medicine. Outside hospitals, masks don't work. Why? Because outside of hospitals, people don't have the skills to keep their hands off their face. Secondly, the masks in hospitals, they're about keeping bacteria out of wounds. They're not actually about protecting the nurses and doctors. They're about protecting people from bacteria, not from viruses. Let's go a little bit deeper. How about the CDC? The Center for Disease Control. They did a study, a meta-analysis of randomized clinical trials. Official scientific method looks at masks. Listen to the range of years. Between 1946 and 2017, I think this amounts to 10 separate studies that the Center for Disease Control looked at of masks in the wild and masks in clinical settings. They determined there's no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza. None. How is it that little old Todd Herman, with his little old conservative radio show, and his great producer, Alex, how is it that we have provided this information to our audience, and yet you have not? Let's go further back. Let's go back to when I had Dr. Scott Atlas from Stanford University on, 14-year head of neuroradiology. How is it that I had him on and you haven't? How is it that he came to my audience and said, masks are hysteria. Masks are only useful for people who are sick. How is it that he came on and said, kids are not at risk. They're at greater risk of being hit by lightning. They're at greater risk for the flu. How is it that that was on my show and it's not in your pages? How is it that I am doing a better job of reporting the COVID-19 facts than you are with your entire reporting apparatus? How is it that this morning I'm giving listeners to this program, all they need to do is text the word mask to 800-465-8770, and I'm sending them a video of Jay Inslee saying that there are medical exemptions to the mask diktat? How is it that I am doing that and you are not doing that? Let's go back to their page so that we can see, make sure that we're not being misled by misinformation. Track the spread of coronavirus across Washington State and the world. Oh, let's do that. In this case, are you going to tell people that cases mean nothing? Or is that up to me? Cases are meaningless. Here's why. Washington State a few weeks ago had a death rate of 0.00016. That's three zeros before the 16. How is it that I'm saying that and you're not? It's simple math. How is it that there is this great map of cases, but no recoveries? How is it that you can provide a map like this and not tell people simple facts like the following? If you're below the age of 50, the average death rate is 0.005. How is that? How is it that I can go to a National Institute of Health study that states asymptomatic people do not pass on the COVID to other people and you don't? How is it that I can go back to Dr. Scott Atlas and other studies and show there's not a single recorded instance of children passing the COVID on to their parents or grandparents and you can't? How is that? How is it that I can provide more context with a one-person radio show plus a producer than you can with the entire Seattle Times reporting apparatus? Your readers are being scared because of your editorial policy. You are freaking people out. You are dividing families. I get emails from listeners saying, I can't even talk to my parents anymore. Because my parents are terrified and they're telling me, no, you're wrong. Everybody's dying. If you get the COVID, you die. You're dividing society, Seattle Times. Any business could require a mask. It doesn't require a diktat. There are people, Seattle Times, who are pregnant and anemic. Two conditions where one probably should not wear a mask. And anemia is, I believe, covered under Jay Inslee's very sympathetic medical exemptions. How is it that you're not telling your readers this? Does someone control your newspaper? Well, yeah. The Blethyn family. Have they told you? Is there a diktat in your paper? You will only provide scary news? Is there? No. Seriously. Is there? I don't have any magic ability to gather these stories, nor does my friend Justin Hart. We just do it. You guys could too. Here's the good
news. Welcome to a brand new beginning.
Thank you, Negan. Right now, I will send you all my research. All of it. You can have it. I care more about not seeing our society divided by this mask diktat than ratings. I'll send you all my research. You can publish it today. Most of it is clinical research. Most of it is easily accessible. I'll send it all to you. You can change your ways, Times. Or is there actually an order from on high from the Blethyn family that you will not provide context about the COVID? That's a sincere question. Remember this. If you have a medical exemption, text MASK to 800-465-8770. I will give you a video of Jay Inslee reminding businesses there are medical exemptions and no one in any business can ask you what your medical exemption is. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I'll let you know if the Times reaches out to me for that day. Little accidental alliteration there, bracketing the breaks with Boston. I think we went out with More Than a Feeling. What was that? I knew it, and then it escaped my mind because I started talking about it. Don't look back. Thank you. So that's Alex, the producer of the show. All right, everybody take a breath, please, because we're going to talk about something super heavy, really. I think I'm the only one who talks about this stuff. On radio. I think I am. And it has to do, well, the reason I talk about it is because we went through we'll always be on this journey of family mental health. But we went through an intensive version of this in 2 years and met a lot of families affected by a lot of things in relation to what this society is doing to kids. So this is going to be kind of heavy, but I think it's really important for us to know that there's a great deal of what I would refer to as It's unmitigated evil that's going on in our society. And it's not going to get attention. I just spent the last segment talking about the Seattle Times and their ridiculously embarrassing non-coverage of the COVID. No discussion of the low death rates. No discussion of the fact that this is a virus that affects older people. No discussion of the fact that the CDC is about to withdraw the epidemic status from this. No discussion of the three huge studies I shared. One of them, the broadest, deepest, most advanced study ever done on masks, that it doesn't work. None of this they're sharing. They're not sharing the medical exemptions to the mask diktat. If you want to get the video of the governor reminding businesses there are medical exemptions, and all you have to say is, I have a medical reason for not wearing a mask, text the word mask to 800-465-8770. Like every other news programmer in Washington State, the Seattle Times ignored the sex ed bill. Now law. By the way, this is not what the segment's about. It's not about the sex ed law. They ignored that. They ignored their curriculum. They ignored the pornography in the curriculum. And I mean literal pornography in the curriculum. They ignored the obsession that Flash and 3Rs have with conning kids into believing there's no such thing as biological sex. There's neither boy nor girl. You are whatever you feel like. Do you know how disturbing it is for kids to believe there's no concrete truth? Do you know how destructive it is to a society to take what is obvious and inarguable, observable, testable, readable, falsifiable fact of biological sex and say, no, that doesn't exist. But we'll tell you what does. That is incredible. Not to mention the fact that this curriculum views kids as sexual beings from the day they're born. An infant. Do you believe that an infant is a sexual being? Do you believe an infant has the right to pursue sexual pleasure and the ability to consent? Do you believe that? This stuff is going to be law unless we beat it in the ballot box. That's not what this is about. This is about a great evil. I read an article, a series of them, about the sex trafficking business and the business of rape. There are a series of arrests that have happened of people who forgive me, this is going to be tough language. I should give a parental warning. But part of building community so that we can all protect our kids, part of what I'm doing is shedding light on something, sharing a truth with you, building community, giving us ways to work together to protect our kids. That's one of our calls of duty here. I'm proud to say I'm just going along with the Bonneville principles here. I'm very proud of that, to align with these principles so clearly. Wrote a series of articles about arrests of men who rape children for hire. For hire. They're located in poor countries. They have a very good technical skill set to mask their locations. Men send them Bitcoin payments so that they can watch a man rape children. Poor children. Sometimes rented to the men by desperate families. Sometimes kidnapped and held for days, weeks at a time. These men have movie sets in their house made to look like a kid's bedroom. One scene, I didn't see the scene, but I saw the picture. I would never see the scene. But the picture is arresting this guy. They showed the wall and they had written on there, "My mommy loves me," on the wall. These men are engaged in these activities so that other men can have the vicarious thrill of watching this enormous act of evil occur. Because these men who are paying to do this, they don't apparently have the money to go rent the bodies of children. So they use this system. They're poor or middle class. But there's a network of them. And these are in these arrests. People are taken from their home. They're finding 100, 200, 300 so-called customers of these men. Paid through Bitcoin. Now, I'm not saying that there's billions of these instances going on. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that they exist. Right? They're right there. Now, with the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was allegedly a kidnapper and pimp for Jeffrey Epstein, there's a lot of questions. Here's the main one. Is it madness to believe that rich men pay to rape kids? Madness? Must be madness. Poor people pay to do it vicariously, to watch kids tortured. No, I'm not even saying it's 1,000 men. They don't disclose the numbers. I'm saying the network exists. But in the case of Jeff Epstein, we know about the island. We know it's called Lolita Island or Pedophile Island. We know these things. We know that he was a pedophile. I mean, do I need to say alleged? Okay, alleged. Sex trafficker alleged? Okay, alleged. Alleged. All right, covered the legal basis. There's a woman who talked to Fox News about Ghislaine Maxwell. She wants to testify. That'd be good, since a Virginia judge has said that the lawyers for the victims of Jeff Epstein have to erase all the evidence they uncovered against Jeff Epstein. They have to erase it, delete it, destroy it. So I guess we'll need some new testimony against Ghislaine Maxwell.
In an exclusive interview with Fox News, a woman claims she was sexually assaulted dozens of times by Maxwell and Epstein, beginning when she was just 14. She says she is willing to testify in court about her abuse.
Absolutely. I would definitely take the stand and testify, because I believe that she deserves to be where she's at today. And she deserves to stay there for the rest of her life. And I hope by me coming forward, it encourages other victims to stand up and say, to be honest, let your voice be heard.
Before I get to some hope, because there's a really interesting sliver of hope in the Ghislaine Maxwell story. There really is. Let me just remind you that Jim Fuda, lifetime law enforcement officer, he's now with Crime Stoppers Global Solutions. Amongst their missions is shutting down sex trafficking. Jim Fuda told me that the curricula that Jay Inslee has signed into law will make it easier for sex traffickers and pedophiles. And how could it not? It normalizes adults talking with kids about deeply intimate sexual activities. It's not about the biology. It's about the pleasure, how to chase it, how to achieve it in the government schools. We have an opportunity coming up to vote that down and to refuse to have this in our schools and in our families, in our communities, to protect our children. So we need to rise as a community. We need to lift families up with this information. I'm shedding the light. Now all of us need to lift families up and build up communities together to fight this. Oh, the hope? Does anyone think that it's weird that Ghislaine Maxwell was living in New Hampshire with an email address that was pretty much her name in a location that anyone in national security would have known about? Not in France. She has dual citizenship. In New Hampshire. What's the hope? Maybe she already turned. Maybe all the pedophiles calling her panicked Ghislaine, you have to protect me. You have to protect me. I paid you this money to rape these kids. Maybe the government has that. We can hope. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with just a few more things on AM 770 KTTH. Wow, I love that commercial. That's awesome. Freedom Foundation is getting it done. They are also suing Jay Inzi about his mass dick tab because it's nothing more than virtue signaling. We've proven that on the show. If you want the video of the governor reminding business owners and employees that there are medical exemptions to his mask dick tat, this is one of the ways I'm shedding light on this so that we can protect the people in our community, families with people who have anemia and epilepsy and such. That's one of the ways that we're building up communities. Text MASK, M-A-S-K, to 800-4-8770. You get a video of the governor saying, hey, you don't get to ask people about their medical exemptions. With that,
just a few more things.
This is a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and numbered list. That way you can play along with the home game. I found out there's still hundreds of people who have the Todd Herman Show board game at home. This is your opportunity to move your yellow cow being ridden by a duck 11 steps forward. Remember, if you cross the wooden bridge, you owe the person you're playing against one of your Jay Inslee cards.
Thing one.
Ah, science. Science. CNN brings the science to the discussion of our nation's challenges.
Well, Kate, I'm highly concerned. This is beyond irresponsible. This is the behavior of a cult leader who is jumping off the cliff, except he's jumping off into a safety net where he has protections around him. People around him are being tested. He's being tested on a regular basis.
Boy, that's a crisp explanation. It's like a cult leader jumping off a cliff, except he's got a safety net so he doesn't fall, and then the other cult, then the members, they go to another cliff, but then it's just like that. It's just like that. That's bringing the science. The death rate lower than it has been since March 24th. Cases are up. Death rates are down. Something I read yesterday. It's very common for SARS, and the COVID is a SARS virus, to burn out towards the end. It gets more contagious and less deadly.
Thing two.
Ah, the science. We talked about the science. Now let's talk about this. Let's talk about political science. This Duckworth that Biden is looking at to be his VP. Well, he's not, because he doesn't know that his name is Joe Biden. He thinks he's Jill Biden. He's his husband. This Duckworth they're looking at to be Vice President of the United States of America. Hey, potential VP candidate, what do you think about mobs going around and tearing down statues of George Washington? Should we just make it official and tear down all the statues of George Washington?
In your view, where does it end? Should statues, for example, of George Washington come down?
Well, let me just say that we should start off by having a national dialogue on it at some point. But right now we're in the middle of a global pandemic.
Well, not for long, because the CDC is getting ready to drop the epidemic status of the COVID. They haven't read that in the Times, have you? Isn't that weird? In fact, I don't think I've read that in any of the local media. So strange that I can find that and they can't. You know what? I must have a special version of the Google. Yeah, we need to have a conversation about tearing down the statues of the nation's founder, but not of the New York Times, which is named after a person who held people in bondage and shipped 90,000 human beings from Africa into the United States. Not of the Democrat Party, a party founded to defend slavery. Yeah, let's have a town hall.
Thing three.
Joy Reid, she brings more science and more nuance and more gravitas to the discussion of
politics. Donald Trump chose the most grandiose symbol of U.S. imperialism on earth.
It's a clown show. And, you know, hopefully we send this clown back to the circus so maybe he can get eaten by a lion.
So funny that it's okay for liberals to wish death upon conservative presidents. So funny. Oh, speaking of clown shows, remember the rodeo clowns? One dude, rodeo clown, wore a Barack Obama mask. Banned from being a rodeo clown. So funny.
Thing four.
I like me some Kylie McEnany. I like her approach a lot. She spoke with the press about the violence.
I didn't receive one question about New York City shootings doubling for the third straight week. And over the last 7 days, shootings skyrocket by 142%. We need to be focused on securing our streets, making sure no lives are lost, because all Black lives matter. That of David Dorn and that of this 8-year-old girl. Thank you.
Oh, yes, she did. Oh, roll some hopeful music, Alex, and some hope-filled music, gazing up at the sky. Yes, she did. No, Alex, I'm not going to play the next thing. How could I possibly play the next thing? Leave it at that. Everybody just behold. Come back on the Todd Herman Show with a fresh round of Seattle Spirit.